Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift up our hands, we lift up our voices, Lord, and we honor you. We honor you on this morning, Lord, with the highest praise. We lift up our voices and we say hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful blessings, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being our deliverer. Lord, we thank you for being the great intercessor in our lives. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. Lord, we thank you for looking down upon us, Lord, and seeing the desires of our hearts, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for you. It is you, Lord. It is you, Lord, who have paved the way for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We honor you for all that you're doing, Lord. We honor you for all that you've done, Lord. And we honor you for all that you're going to do, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for providing us with those things, Lord, that we desire. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for providing us with the provisions, Lord. Lord, we thank you for giving us the faith of a mustard seed, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for making us the head and not the tail. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for placing the enemies up under our feet. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for just giving us the strength to continue on, Lord. To continue on, Lord, and to do the work, Lord, that you have placed us to do, Lord. Lord, we thank you for moving on our behalf, Lord. Lord, we thank you for removing all obstacles out of our way. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for placing the food on our tables for us to eat, Lord. Lord, we thank you for placing the words in our mouth for us to speak. Lord, we thank you for the breath that you place in our body, Lord, to breathe. Lord, we thank you for giving us the movement of our limbs to walk, Lord, and to lift our hands and our arms and to be able to open our mouth, Lord, and to say hallelujah and to give praise to you, Lord. Lord, we honor you on today. Lord, we honor Bishop Berrien on today, Prophet Bishop Berrien, Lord. We honor him on today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for lifting him up. Lord, thank you for strengthening him. Lord, thank you for providing energy to his body so he can continue to go on, Lord. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the covering, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the revelations, Lord. Thank you for his vision. Thank you for his ministry, Lord. Thank you for his love for the people, Lord. Thank you for the work that he does. Lord, we honor you for Bishop Berrien on today, Lord. Thank you for Prophetess Nichelle Berrien, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for providing for her, Lord. Lord, thank you for giving her the energy and the strength to go on. Thank you, Lord, for all that she does, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for her being there for us, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for Prophetess, Lord. Lord, continue to pour into her, Lord. Continue to bless her, Lord. Hold nothing back. Hold no none of your blessings back from her, Lord. Continue to bless them. Continue to bless them. Continue to bless this ministry, Lord. Thank you for the growth of this ministry, Lord. Thank you for bringing the people from the east, the west, the north, and the south. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the people, Lord, and for bringing the provisions. Have the provisions placed in the people, Lord, for them to bring them forth. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. Lord, thank you for using us as your vessels, Lord. We want to thank you for each and every one on the phone line today, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them with the abundance, Lord. Don't hold anything back, Lord. Open up the windows of heaven and allow the blessings to pour out, Lord. We honor you on today, Lord. We honor the diplomats, Lord. We honor the president, the senators, the governors, Lord. We just thank you for them, Lord. Have your way with them, Lord. Let them do the work of your hand and not their own, Lord. Lord, it's all about you and it's not about us. Thank you for the teachers, Lord. We thank you for the students. We thank you for the breaks that the teachers are having right now, Lord, to strengthen them, Lord, to give them encouragement and to empower them, Lord, for the season to come. Lord, we thank you for all on this phone line, Lord. Have your way in the houses, in the homes, Lord, in them, Lord. Have your way. Don't hold anything back, Lord, because we know it's all about you and not about us, Lord. And we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your anointing on this phone line. We thank you for your anointing, Lord, in the homes, in the houses. We thank you for the anointing over our Bishop Berrien, Lord. We thank you for the word that shall come forth out of his mouth today, Lord. We honor you for that word, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we say hallelujah to your name, and we give you the highest praise. In your mighty, mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to talk to you about prayer and the purpose of prayer today. And this, as I said, is going to be a continual teaching because we can go in so many areas in this teaching. And so I want us to begin to understand some important things concerning prayer, because prayer moves us into divine oneship. I want to say that again. Prayer moves us into divine oneship. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And St. John chapter 10, verse 30, he says, I and my Father are one. So he had a revelation of prayer, and he understood the purpose of prayer. Now, worship is turning to God in awe of how wonderful he is. Praise and worship. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. He sits on our praises. But prayer is a natural part of worship. To know God is to want to worship him and to pray to him. And so prayer is a converse with God, the intercourse of the soul with God. Prayer changes things, but it changes you and me first. That has to change us. So we want to. So today, as we're going to be talking to you about these 10 keys, and I don't know if we're going to get into all of that, but I want us to begin to understand some foundational principles today, because prayer is powerful, and yet there are six parts to our prayer life, and yet all must be equally developed. There are six parts of our prayer life, and each one of them must be developed effectively. And we're going to talk about those today a little bit as we're setting the foundations of prayer. And I want to expound on them just a little bit, but I just want to give you the key points of them, and then we're going to talk some more about them, because we've got to understand some key things about prayer. Something that Prophetess Michelle shared with you that was very, very powerful, and she made a statement as she was talking about the open heaven stage. She says, prayer pleasures the heart of God. Prayer pleasures the heart of God. Now, there's something about pleasure, because we always return to a place of pleasure. You will always return to a place of pleasure. What pleasures you? What? So let me put it like this here. An alcoholic keeps drinking alcohol. Why? Because it is a place of pleasure. A drug addict keeps returning to drugs. Why? Because it is a place of pleasure. A restaurant that pleasures you, you will always run back to that restaurant. Why? Because what they gave you has brought pleasure to you. You will always go to a place of pleasure. I don't care what it is. It could be abuse. You will always go back to a place that is pleasurable to you. It could be a relationship. You will always go back to a place of pleasure that is pleasurable to you. So pleasure and prayer go together. Why? So pleasure is the ability to enjoy something that you love. Prayer pleasures the heart of God. Psalms 35 and 27 states, let the Lord be magnified which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So pleasure and prayer go together. So what is prayer? Prayer is a communion with God. Prayer. You will never enjoy prayer. Let me say this again. You will never enjoy prayer if you do not enjoy his presence. You will never enjoy prayer if you do not enjoy his presence. I go into his presence because I enjoy what I get out of it. In his presence is the fullness of joy. So when you are praying, it's important that we understand this. Why? Because it brings about pleasure. So the purpose of prayer is not to secure possessions. It is to receive impartation. So while I'm in his presence, I am filled with him. The prophets believed that the more they prayed, the more they heard God. The prophets believed that the more they prayed, the more they got revelation and the more God spoke to them. When I go out and minister to different churches, I pray in the spirit for 1 hour, for 60 minutes before service. The greater the prayer, the greater your prophetic insight. The greater the prayer, the greater the revelations. So you will never enjoy his presence or prayer if you do not enjoy his presence. So when you're praying to become more important, I'm going to put it like this here. I'm going to say that because I'm going to get this revelation. When who you are praying to becomes more important than what you are praying for, what you are praying for will change from a need to an answer. Oh, let me say that again, because I want somebody to get that there, because I want to talk, because some of you are going to Father in the sense of a problem. You're praying from the problem and not the pre-existent answer to prayer. When who you are praying to becomes more important than what you are praying for, what you are praying for will change from a need to an answer. I want to say that again because I need y'all to get this here. Because I want to show you today how to move into the pre-existent answer to your prayer. Jesus gives us some very key answers to the pre-existent answer and not the problem. I want to say that again. When who you are praying to becomes more important than what you are praying for, what you are praying for will change from a need to an answer. Somebody's going to get that today. See, your prayer must move from a problem to the pre-existed answer to prayer, because prayer is one with the answer. Isaiah 65 and 24 states, "It shall come to pass that before you call, I will answer. And while you are speaking, I will say, here I am." So the prayer is one with the answer. The answer is always inseparable from the prayer, because prayer always contains the answer. The answer exists perfect and complete before the prayer. So the answer is pre-existent to the prayer. The answer is pre-existent to the prayer. Let me put it like this here. You're never praying for what you don't have, so there is no such thing. It's already there. God always answers your prayer. Let me say that again. God always answers your prayer. God always answers your prayer. Now, the answer is either yes, which means it symbolizes now. The answer can also be wait, which means wait later on, or no, which means never. So your prayer is always being answered, whether you like the answer or not. So you're never praying for what you don't have, for there is no such thing. So what do you say in Proverbs? Your every good desire is your soul's desire, and call for its pre-existence glory to God. See, your only and every need is the need to call forth your pre-existence glory of God. Let's go to a verse of scripture quickly. Let's go take a look at a verse of scripture here, because Jesus shows us some very powerful things here. In the book of let's go over to the book of John, chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 41 through 43, the pre-existent answer. I said the pre-existent answer. And it reads, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus begins to come forth. And something miraculous begins to happen. Verse 44, "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with graven clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, Loose him and let him go." Loose him and let him go. Loose him let him go. So Jesus, we know prior to that, that Jesus was about the Father's business and he had things that he needed to do. We see that his brothers and sisters cried out to Jesus, saying, "Our brother is dead. Come, you come and raise him." And Jesus said unto them, "I have things to do." Now, this is another level of a revelation here. And so Jesus begins to say to them that I have things that I need to do, that I'm about the Father's business right now. I can't tend to that. And sometimes we allow other people's problems to become a priority in our life. We allow people's situations to begin to become take precedence in our life over what God has told us and called us to do. And sometimes we go, "Lord, I'm going to set aside some time. I'm going to read my word. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray." And all of a sudden, something shows up with family members, and we forgot what we told Father. We forgot the vow that we made to God. It would have been better for us not to make the vow. We allow things and situations to get in the way of us, what we said that we were going to do, and set aside our quality time. Why? Because as we told you earlier, that prayer pleasures the heart of God. Prayer pleasures the heart of God. Why? Because prayer gives the believer authority. Prayer gives the believer authority and allows us to move into a degree of power. Because prayer is your key to power. The apostle Peter knew that. Peter therefore was kept in prison, the Bible says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod, who had brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison, and behold, listen, they were praying without cease. They were interceding. We're going to talk about interceding. They were interceding, and behold, the angels of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison. We're talking about the power of prayer because it gives you authority. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands, and he got up, according to Acts 5:12-7. So prayer changes things as they were interceding in prayer. Interceding in prayer. And so sometimes we allow things to get in the way of us when we have made a vow to God. But I want to say to you, keep your vow, because if you keep your vow, God honors your vow and he moves on your behalf. And he'll change the situation. Why? Because you've honored him and you made a vow. And you've allowed nothing on the outside to interrupt what you said that you were going to do. So Jesus says, I will not allow your emergency to become my emergency. Don't let other people's problem become your priority. But beware. Others won't understand. They will call you insensitive, not caring, have no compassion about what they're going through. You don't care about me. Because if you did, you would have got here when I told you to. Sometimes the enemy uses people to create problems or situations to force you to get out of the will of God. And then they will say that you don't love me, you don't care about me, because if you did, you'd have came right away. But you got to make a decision who's first in your life, God or man, God or family. Let's put it like this, your spirit is thicker than blood. And so now, don't let other people's problems become your priority. So they got mad. And Jesus showed up 4 days later, saying that if you were there, then Lazarus would have never died. People will blame you for their misfortunes. Jesus, however, said, he had things that he needed to do for the Father. He was about the Father's business. And yet the centurion knew that Jesus was busy, so he said to them, if you would just speak the word, I know that all will be well. So the centurion had more faith than they did. I know you're busy, Jesus. I know you got things to do, but if you would just speak the word, all will be well. I know of a man whose father had died. He was on his way to the airport to go preach the gospel at a particular church. God gave him an assignment, but he understood that he could not be distracted. Jesus told the young man, this is that our Father Jesus, he says, let the dead bury the dead. He says, if you want to go, good, but let the dead bury. See, sometimes we got to let dead things bury dead things. We got to let the dead hang out with the dead because they don't have the faith. But this preacher went on to preach anyway and came back 3 days later because he knew that there was nothing that he can do. He knew that his mother was in the gospel, that his mother was a born-again believer, that she was a mother in the church, and he knew that all was going to be well, and he could not stop what he was doing. Why? Because he was about the Father's business, and his mother understood it, but his family did not understand it. See, that's commitment. That's integrity. That's integrity, where I'm going to follow through in what I said that I am going to do. Sometimes we let people distract us, and yet it's a test from the Lord to see what we would do. Don't let people distract you. You stay focused on God's plan. I just want to say to you again, you stay focused on God's plan. If it's your mate, if it's your children, you stay focused on your plan. Don't you get off the wall. Don't you get off the wall. You stay on the wall. If God said do it, then do it. He'll take care of the rest. God is so big and bad that he'll cause a miracle to show up on your behalf. And so we see here in this book, that so they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus shows up 4 days later, which was a miracle that had never been done before. Oh, but Jesus says that I am the resurrection of life, and because I am the resurrection of life, this is a life thing. See, Jesus, like he said, I'm the bread of life. I am the resurrection of life. And because I am the resurrection of life, I can raise this Lazarus from the dead. See, you cannot be what you're not. The truth that you know is the truth that will make you free. And because I am the resurrection of life, raising him is not a problem. So they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now notice here, I want you to begin to notice here, because we're talking about the pre-existent answer. Notice that Jesus was not focused on the death of Lazarus. He said, roll away the stone. Now what does this stone represent? Because many of us have stones in our life. The stone represents the hard facts. The stone represents the problems. The stone represents the troubles. The stone represents the obstacles and other barriers to our blessings. So he says, roll away this obstacle. I don't care what you're going through today. I want to say to you, roll away the stone and lift up your eyes. And once you move beyond the situation, see, your stone may be that your credit is bad. Your stone, the hard facts may be that you don't have the right goods, that you don't have the right education. Your stone may be that you're not the right gender. Your stone may be that you're not the right color, but you got to roll away that. You got to roll away the stone, and you got to lift up your eyes, and you got to say like Jesus, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, because that is not the truth for me. So you roll away that stuff. Some of you have not rolled away the stone. And so he rolls away the stone, the thing that is in the way, that is a barrier to his blessings. And sometimes you gotta roll away the stone. The stone symbolizes the heart, things that show up in your life. And maybe you can't find work. Maybe your business is not successful. Maybe you don't feel love. But you gotta lift up your eyes and move that stone up. Way. So once he says that, he says, I knew that thou hearest me always. Let's take a look at that word knew. But I want to go before knew because, this may not be proper English. There cannot be a knew, K-N-E-W, without a know. There cannot be a knew before a know, which is K-N-O-W. Now, the word know means to have information of some kind in your mind. I and my Father are one, the same, the very same one. I want to do what I see the Father do. So I had an intimate relationship because I know his ways. Because I'm in prayer and I'm in constant communication with him, I know him. There is an inner knowing. There is something in me. I know his ways. I study his ways. I learn his ways. I mimic his ways. I duplicate only what I see the Father do. So to know, to have information of some kind in your mind, and to know also means to understand. To know also means to proceed directly. It also means to have direct cognition. The word know also means to be acquainted or familiar with. See, prayer allows you to be acquainted with the Father. It allows you to be familiar with his ways, to be familiar with his ideas, to be familiar with the way he does things, the way he thinks. So to know also means to have an experience of. So in your time of prayer, you come into an experience with the Father. But the word new, K-N-E-W, means the Webster defines it as past of know. You cannot new, K-N-E-W, without a K-N-O-W, know. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So he says something very powerful here. He says, I knew that thou hearest me. He said that he knew. Why? Because he had this experience before. He had the experience of who he was and who God was before. And then he says, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. I pray these prayers because people are around me, because they don't understand our relationship. They don't understand our oneness. That they may believe that thou hast sent me. Then Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. Never before had a person in the Bible been dead and raised after 3 days. So Jesus rose on the third day, but he was doing what was supposed to be impossible by bringing a man back to life that had been dead for 4 days. He raised Lazarus because he was the resurrection of life. And I believe that when Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, I knew that you heard me, Lazarus' life began to show back up in his body because he knew him. You see, Jesus didn't pray from the problem. Jesus didn't pray from the problem. Jesus didn't pray from the problem. So Jesus knew the answer was already pre-existing because he says, I knew. I've already seen this day. I knew. He already heard me. I've never seen Lazarus as a dead man. I only seen him as a man that was alive. And so he begins to say some key things here. But I'm going to ask you a question today. What are you seeing? For Jesus, Lazarus was never dead. He said that he is but asleep. I'm going to ask you this. What are you seeing in your life? Are you seeing life or are you seeing death? Jesus never focused on death. He focused on life. What are you seeing today, saints? What are you seeing today? And so we see here that the stone means to roll away the hard facts, the hard things. We also see in verse 44 of John chapter 11, and he that was dead came forth bound hands and foot. The hands, you do biddings with your hands. The hand of the Lord, the hands. And we told you repeatedly, you declare with the right hand, you receive the left hand. He says, loose his hands. His feet was bound, which means that he had no movement. He had no direction. He had no purpose. Today, loose your hands and loose your feet. The graven clothes symbolizes dead things. Clothes or garments represent the molds that you wear. Clothes or garments, he said, get those dead things off of him. Get that sackcloth off of him. He is not in a state of death. Isaiah 61:3 says, I will give unto you beauty for ashes and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Clothes represents the molds that you wear. I want to say today, put on the garments of love. Put on the garments of happiness. Put on the garments of praise. Put on the garments of thanksgiving. Put on the garments of health. Put on the garments of success. Put on the garments of love and prosperity. Wear it. I don't care where you are, wear it. As you remove the hard facts, as you remove the stone, the problem situation, I want you to start putting on the garments of whatever it is that you believe in God for. Say to me right now. I want you all to say to me right now, those that is on the phone line, I want you to say to me right now. I now clothe, you know, we're not going to open up the lines, but I want you to say within yourself wherever you are right now. Say to me right now and say your name. As I say my name, I, Charlie, right now, I now clothe myself in the beauty and the beautiful garments of whatever that you believe in God for. So I'm going to say it for myself, and you say it for yourself wherever you are. I now clothe myself in the beautiful garments of prosperity. I now clothe myself in the beautiful garments of success, health, and happiness. I now, Charlie, I clothe myself in the beautiful garments of praise and worship. I, Charlie, now clothe myself in the beautiful garments of faith. Ever-increasing faith. Right now, faith is what I clothe myself in. Why? Because the clothes that you wear will decide the feelings that you feel. The clothes that you wear will decide the feelings that you feel. Some of you need to start changing your clothing. Some of you need to go out and get something colorful so you can change your molds. If you're wearing dark colors all the time, go out and get something light and bright. Change your clothing. Go out and get something new so you can change your feeling. If you're feeling doom and gloom, you got to take off those sackcloths and change your clothes. If it seems like you're running into one wall after another, go out and get yourself a new pair of shoes so you can change the direction that you're going into. I will give you the beauty of ashes and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let me say it like this here. You will get where you want to go much faster if you look like you're already there. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let me say that again. You'll get where you want to go much faster if you look like you're already there. Dress for success. Dress for success, not failure. So you got to look like where you already want to go and that you're already there. So wear the feelings of what you want to make happen in your life. If you're feeling sad, then change your clothing and get up and do something different, because what you wear will determine how you feel. Some of you are wearing in your mind defeat, lack, poverty, and depression. Change your mind, change your experience. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you got to change the mold. And sometimes it's not about even just changing the outer clothes, it's about changing the clothes on your mind. Why? Because you always wear your experience. You will always wear your feelings. You always wear your thoughts. Because your garments represent the mold that you wear. Oh, hallelujah. We're talking about prayer this morning, and we're setting the foundation. So the purpose of prayer is not to secure possessions, it is to receive impartation. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people which are called by name shall humble themselves and pray, if my people, the people of God, we're setting the foundation today of prayer. Of prayer. So as we are looking today, and we're going to be closing very shortly, I want us to take a look as you're setting the foundation of the six parts of your prayer life, and yet all must be equally developed. Number one is confession. To confess means to agree with God that the issue is at hand, whatever that may be. If it's error, if it's sin, confess it. And after you confess your sin, make sure you accept God's forgiveness. You see, God doesn't look over. God doesn't overlook sin. He forgives because it was paid for with the blood of Jesus on the cross. Now, I can give you many scriptures today, but we want to talk about the six parts of your prayer life. Is number one, confession. If thou wilt confess in thy mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for your sins, thou shalt be saved. If there's something in your life that is not correct, confess it. If it's unforgiveness, confess it. If it's hatred, confess it. If it's anger, confess it. Whatever it may be, confess it. It may be disobedience, confess it. The six parts of your prayer life, these are our foundational principles. We'll be sharing more. So number one is confession. Number two is praise. Psalms 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I want to go over to Psalms 48. Psalms 48 and verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Psalms 48. I want to go over and take a look in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praise is glorifying God for who and what he is. Now, praise is different than thanksgiving or thanking him for things that he has done. We will be praising God for all his eternity. And so God is pleased with our praise. The Bible says there is power in praise. Praise can be done by word or by song. Praise. I want to go to Psalms. Let me give you all some scriptures today. Psalms 22 and verse 3. For thou art holy, O thou inhabitest the praise of Israel. There is a power in praise. So number one of the six parts of our prayer life is confession. And number two is praise. The third part of our six parts of our prayer life, and as I said, each one must be developed equally, is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is thanking God for what he has done, is doing, and that he is going to do in our life, as well as the lives of others. And yet we must be specific in our thanksgiving, remembering everything comes from him, and it is our good. So we should thank him for everything. I want to go over to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26. Romans, chapter 8, verse 26. And we're going to read 26 through 28. Romans 8, 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, oh hallelujah, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We're talking about thanksgiving. We're talking about thanksgiving. Number four of the six pillars or the six components of prayer is intercession. Intercession. Intercession is praying for others, and we're going to be sharing more on this here. There will be a teaching on each one of these. Intercession. Intercession is praying for others, and it's important that we learn to keep a list of prayer requests so to remember to pray for them and to mark them down, and then thank God for the answer. Remember, God always answers prayers, we told you earlier, and the answer is either yes, wait, or no. Because every prayer gives one of these answers. God is able to do anything, but he isn't always willing to do what it is we think that he should do to bail us out, according to Daniel 3 and 17. Let's go over to Daniel 3 and 17, because he don't always answer our prayer the way we want him to. Daniel 3 and 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. If it be so, if it is his will, and if he don't do it, then so be it. It won't change my love or my faith in him. If I die, then I perish. If I perish, so be it. Then it is the will of God. So be it. We're talking about intercession today. You see, this is where the pre-existent answer comes from. Intercession. Now, number five of the six components of prayer is petition. Now, petitions are to continually praying earnestly. Now, this requires patience, determination, and at times a willingness to wrestle with God for the desired outcome. Petition. Petition means asking God for things for yourself. The Bible says that we should ask for an understanding heart. That's a petition. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or come in. Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? Sometimes we go to God in petition. We ask for the spirit of understanding. We ask for the spirit of wisdom. Sometimes we ask God for the spirit of forgiveness. Let's go to Psalms chapter 25, verse 11. Psalms 25, verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Forgiveness. Verse 18 says, look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all of my sins. Verse 20 says, of chapter 25, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Sometimes we go into God and petition for the degree of guidance. Let's go to Psalms 25, and let's look at verse 4 for guidance. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Psalms 27 and verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Sometimes we must begin to pray for guidance. And then at times we pray for the petition of holiness. For the petition of holiness. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 for guidance. And the very God of peace sanctify unto you holy. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless according to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're praying for guidance. And then there are times we are in petition for mercy. I want to go over to Psalms chapter 6. Psalms chapter 6. Where we are in petition for mercy. Oh Lord, rebuke me not in thy anger. Have mercy on me, Father God, have mercy. Oh Lord, rebuke me not in thy anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Verse 2, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also so vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thanks? Verse 6, our last verse. For I am weary in my groanings, and all the night make I my bed to swim. I water in my couch with my tears. Have mercy on me. The prayer petition for mercy. And then there will be times that we will go into the petition of power. God, I need more power. God, give me power. God, give me power. Give me power. Give me power. The petition for power. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Maybe your petition is, Lord, I need more power. And it reads in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. The petition for power. Perhaps your petition is for spiritual growth. Perhaps your petition is for spiritual growth. Oh, hallelujah. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 through 19. Your petition for spiritual growth. Your petition for spiritual growth. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, oh, hallelujah, and revelation and knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us upward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Father God, my petition today is for spiritual power. My petition today is for spiritual power. And to know and to do God's will. To do God's will. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Our petition to be in his will. So once again, of the six pillars, the six parts, and the foundation of our prayer life is confession. Number 2 is praise. Number 3 is thanksgiving. Number 4 is interceding. And number 5 is petition. Number six is to listen. See, after we pray, we need to learn to listen. Some of us pray and forget to listen. Listen. Because good communication is a two-way street. Good communication is a two-way street. Listen. Listen. Pause a few minutes to listen and allow God to talk to you. And we should learn to do this throughout our day. After all, it is more important you passing on information to God or Him passing information to you. We're good at giving Him information, but are we good at allowing Him to give us information? Be still in your mind. That's why the Bible says, be still and know. Be still in your mind. Let Him put in thoughts and feelings and ideas that you need. Be sensitive to His leading. As with any relationship, the better you know the person, the better the communication. Good, deep communication is difficult with a stranger. But the more you spend time with a person, the better you can hear them. The more you spend time in His presence, the better you can hear Him. Now, this art takes time to develop. It won't happen overnight, but it takes time. I want to go take a look over here as we're talking about the final stage of the six parts of prayer. I want to go over to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. And the Lord came and stood, Jesus, and the Lord came and stood and called as other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord came and stood and called as other times. He said, Samuel, Samuel. He had a listening ear. He had a listening ear. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at so many times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Let's go down to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Let's go over to Psalms chapter 2 and verse 15 as we're talking about learning to listen. And some of you will read these scriptures to edify your spirit. Psalm 62 and verse 5. Our time is almost up. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is for Him. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. And lastly, let's go over to Psalms 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. When I am still, then I can know God will be exalted in the earth. Not just the physical earth, this world, but you are the earth. He will be exalted in you. Be sensitive to His leading. Be sensitive to His leading. Be sensitive to His leading. I want to take us into a moment of prayer. We're going to be closing out, and we're going to let Elder Irma finish on up, take you all into prayer, and make sure you all got your tithes in. I'm going to take you into prayer, quickly. Father God, I want to thank you. Gracious God, we acknowledge that you're worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. And Father God, I am thankful for the victorious work of your Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary for me. I apply his victory to my life now as I surrender every area of my life for your will. Thank you, Father God, for the forgiveness and righteousness that has been given unto me as your adopted child. I trust your protection. I trust you for provision. I trust you that these six pillars of prayer shall be established in my life. And Father God, I desire that my fellowship with you become greater and greater and even greater. Father God, in my time of prayer, reveal to me those things that grieve you, and that enables the enemy to secure an advantage in my life. I receive and I understand, Father God, that prayer brings about a level of authority in the Bible. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need the Holy Spirit's power in my life. I need the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. I need the Holy Ghost to bring repentance in my heart. I need the Holy Ghost to help strengthen my faith and increasing the perseverance and resisting the temptations of the world. Help me to die to self and to walk in victory of the new creation that you have provided for me, Father God. Let the fruits of the Spirit flow out of my life so that you will be glorified through my life. I need the Holy Spirit's power. Help me, Father God. Allow the Spirit to flow through me. Father God, I want you to be glorified in my life so that my works may be pleasing unto you. Father God, I pray right now that you will put a hedge of protection around me, my possessions, my family, and all of my descendants. Protect us from anything that the enemy would try to do against us. I know that it is your will, Father God, that I can stand firm and resist all the enemy's works against me. Holy Ghost, help me to discern the attacks upon my thoughts and my emotions. Enable me to stand upon your word. Father God, I thank you for renewing my mind and renewing my soul. And Father God, even right now, I draw upon those spiritual resources that you have provided for me. I command the name of Jesus Christ that the enemy must be released, my mind, my will, my emotions, and my body completely. They have been yielded to the Lord, and I belong to him. And Father God, as I pray right now, hear my prayers. Establish these six components of prayer. Develop them in me so that I can do your will. Strengthen me through the power of prayer. For I take pleasure in my time of prayer with thee. Father God, give me a listening ear. Lead me and guide me so that I may hear your voice in my time of prayer. Speak to me. Have you spoken unto your prophets in times past? In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Elder Irma, are you there?
God bless you, Bishop.
God bless you, Elder. Thank you so much this morning for your powerful prayer that you spoke. I felt something. I felt the power in you, woman of God, as you were praying this morning.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
As you were praying this morning, I felt victory all around you.
Yeah.
I felt victory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I want to say to you, Elder, that when you are weak, he is strong.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Rely on him. There was something about your prayer this morning. There was something as you were praying this morning. I felt a relief and a breakthrough.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I felt an authority. And God's going to continue to strengthen your body. Oh, the battle. This is probably one of the strongest battles that you've ever had to deal with.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
But there was something about your prayer.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
That God released this morning.
Hallelujah.
I want to say, no matter how you feel, you shout from the top of your voice.
Yes. Yes.
And you pray like you never prayed before.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You seek his presence like you never saw his presence before.
Yes.
For it will be in that that you will get your strength. It will be in that that you will walk into victory.
Yes. Thank you, and Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bishop, you there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
It was all me. It was all me. And though many didn't understand, he said it was all me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Though the affliction was great, he said it was me. I was developing you. I was making you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
So we're putting it in your hands as I got to get to this graduation, and I want to thank you, and you all will close out.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
God bless you, Elder.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Bishop.